Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 126 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Fiorentina, which finished 2-1 to the host. Goals from Apongracic, own goal in the 28th minute, Mandragora in the 44th on a penalty, and Arnautovic in the 52nd. As always, I'm one half your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno, official podcast of SempreInter.com. Always forget to throw that in there. Johnny, we called for a drubbing. We called for a laying down the law kind of game from Inter in the last podcast. Game finishes 2-1. How are you feeling?
I feel like we didn't even get a clubbing. You know, like, obviously happy with the 3 points. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't appreciate the 3 points, but I feel like there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. I think a lot of our concerns could still be there. Although I do think it was a good performance. Once again, unable to finish. Like, it was a very, very difficult for us to even break their lines, really, and get opportunities to shoot clean shots on them. The own goal, fortunate. I don't know how you felt about the Arnautovic goal. Well, I know how you felt. But the cross felt like a mishit by Augusto, in my opinion. I wouldn't say it was a perfect cross, in my opinion. But I don't know. No, just judging by your face, you disagree. So,
I didn't get mishit at all. Interesting feelings. What about the attitude from Inter? What about the attitude? Are you at least happy with sort of the fight that was put in today?
Sure.
Aggression on the ball, the speed with which they were moving.
Sure, but if the final product isn't there, I mean, we easily could have lost this game. And in reality, it probably should have been a draw if you take away the goal that shouldn't have been a goal to begin with for us. You know,
I'm not going to lie to you. I hate that kind of thinking. And I know it was like, there's, you know, the group chat where a lot was said, but I disagree with that way of thinking.
I'm not in the group chat, so.
So hard. Oh, you're not in the group chat. Yeah, Tony and Nemo went back and forth. I think, you know, Tony was of the opinion that there was some luck involved.
And I agree with Tony.
Okay. And I wholeheartedly disagree. So.
And that's the beauty of this podcast. We do not have to agree on everything.
Yeah. So how do you want to get into this? Like, I think we should definitely.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
I just witnessed a rocket take off, man. You know,
I know that is pretty cool. I thought it was a missile heading right for
I did too. I thought we were I was definitely going to die, but
we're here and you can continue to watch Inter for the rest of the season. all right. So tell me why you feel like there was luck involved.
I mean, when I'm watching that play in real time, I was like, oh, out of bounds. Like, Bastoni didn't get to it. Real time, I felt it. I kind of knew it. Was lucky that we were able to get a corner undeservingly. Now, granted, mistakes happen, right? You see these things. I mean, I know how I would feel if I was a Fiorentina fan with that instance. I feel like that would have been a little harsh.
100%.
But I'm also of the mindset, you know, that I think that it was the penalty was also a makeup call. I agree with what Simone is saying, that it's not a penalty. Where, yeah, I think that was a harsh penalty. Yes, his arm is up. Yes, it's away from his body. but he's a meter away from Gosens. You know, if Gatti can do what he did in the Juve game, I don't see how you call this a penalty. But in my opinion, I think that, hey, it's a makeup call. Like, we got it wrong over there. We kind of got to give them this one. Which is why I kind of wish that we would hear the VAR audio. I feel like that should be played for everybody, but that's a whole other topic. I know.
They would never put themselves at risk like that to get exposed for being imbeciles.
For sure.
That should be the case. It should be the case, but they're too scared to take that on.
But yeah, I mean, I think that we were lucky. I do agree with you that I thought we there was fight there. You could tell that the guys wanted to win. It's not that they were coasting in any way. Although I did feel the last 20 minutes they were coasting, in my opinion. I think they were trying to defend the lead, which I was like, guys, you've been on the front foot. I don't see any bite from them. Just kill them off. Like, why are we dropping back so much? It just made no sense to me. So that was a little frustrating to watch. But however, we were able to hang on to it. And I think that we were fortunate to hang on to it, because I think that if we would have, maybe done that in the 60th minute, who knows what could have happened. They may have been able to steal a late equalizer or something. So listen, I'm happy with the 3 points. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm not. I want to win this title more than I wanted to win last season's. And maybe it's because last season was so easy that I almost felt like it was a far gone conclusion. I didn't have to worry about it. I feel like every episode was us celebrating either a late winner or a massive victory. This year, it's been more of a fight, which, the Serie A is the toughest one to win, in my opinion. I don't think it's the prettiest, but I do think it's the most competitively balanced. So, I'm happy with the 3 points. We are right on Napoli's cheeks. And, if we could take this positive performance and bring it into the Juve game and kill them off, and I mean, like, kill them off, they are due for a drubbing. They haven't looked good. I don't care what Colomboani's doing. He's the only guy who's looked good. You negate him, I don't think there's any. The guy scored 5 goals and 5 shots. That's incredible. You take him out, I think you're able to win that game. And I'm not going to go into a prediction of the score, but I feel like you have to continue to grow from this. And I'm hoping that the injury for Thuram is more precautionary than anything. I don't know if you heard anything that was said by Inzaghi. Obviously, I'm at work, so I don't get to hear it on the West Coast. Yeah. Let's just hope that we can take this into the next game and better finishing. That's all I'm hopeful for.
Yeah. So two things just off of what you just said there. So the injury things, Thuram is going to be evaluated the day after tomorrow. I think tomorrow the guys have the day off. And then Arnautović pulled up with an adductor injury. Not super serious, but it wasn't a tactical switch there at the end. Maybe adductor, maybe cramp. I'm forgetting exactly what it was. And then Hakan was on a yellow, I believe, working his way back into fitness. And that's why he was pulled at the half. Inzaghi mentioned, like, I could have pulled him at 60th, but I just decided to pull him at the half. All right. So I don't think you could talk about the story of this game, or at least even talk about the context of, did we get lucky? How deserved was this, without talking about each of the controversial incidents? So first things first, the ball goes out of bounds on the Bastoni, slide there. The ball goes out of bounds and it should have been a goal kick. It's not something that's reviewable. The ref made the wrong call. And it is what it is. If we're being real about the situation, Inter scored a goal from that corner. I think that blows it up a little bit as far as, oh, you got lucky. Do you know the difficulty to score a goal on a corner compared to, let's say, a penalty that is wrongly given? A penalty that is wrongly given is like 0.8 XG. Just because a decision on whether or not a ball should have been a corner kick or a goal kick. Do you know how difficult it is to score from that position? They're not even like remotely the same incidents. So sure, Inter shouldn't have been given a corner kick, but scoring it was not a given. That's not as far as luck is concerned, like that's a very low percentage opportunity that they got. The penalty, actually, before we get into the penalty, the other reason why I wouldn't call us getting that corner kick lucky at all, based off of the balance of play till that point in the game, Inter deserved to be in the lead. Like, it wasn't luck that Inter was dominating the game and took the lead there. We did hit the post. I can argue Fiorentina got lucky that Lautaro's shot didn't go 2 inches under. And also on that post, no one's talking about this, but every time I see the image, it bothers me. On the Lautaro header that hit the post, Pongracic elbows him right in the back. And it's like clear as day. He actually altered the header from Lautaro by going into his back there. So I'd argue Fiorentina was getting lucky. On the balance of play, yes, it shouldn't have been a corner, but Inter deserved to be in the lead. As far as the... Oh, wait. Sorry. I think you're muted.
No, I was going to cut you off, so sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're cooking. You're cooking.
Do you have anything to say about the corner stuff? That's the only thing that I wanted to say about it. It's like, it feels like whenever we talk about, oh, Inter got lucky here, like, it wasn't, they weren't awarded a penalty kick. Like, it was a corner kick, and those aren't easy to score. So it's, you know, and they deserve to be in the lead at that point. 100%. They deserve to be in the lead at that point.
I don't disagree with deserving to be in the lead. I think, yeah, during the balance of play, we were dominating them. And yes, the goal, it felt like it was coming. But I don't know, maybe I'm, I don't know. I just didn't want it to get like that. And maybe it's because I'm just tired of it, either hearing the Marotta League, or everyone's, you know, saying we get all these calls and we get all these breaks, but then when things go against us, they don't call it. And maybe that's why I didn't want to get it that. Maybe that's why I'm upset. Not upset, but not
Johnny,
as excited.
I think that is like fascinating because you don't see any other fan base outside of Inter almost being apologetic for the breaks that they get. No other fan base does that. But
that's
us,
true.
That we've been hearing Marotta League for years, it's like we, you know, like everything has to be perfect for us. It's almost like it's a Stockholm syndrome. You'll never see a Juve or Milan fan apologize for getting a break. They'll never do it. And
there's a couple. Let's be nice to some of the guys that we're friends with. Yeah. I would say Scania would do it. The knee guy.
That was the first name that I thought about. Yeah.
Kais would do it. Who, I mean, I don't know if you interact with him, but I mean, me and him would. The only guys who I don't think would fess out to it would be like average Chiesa. Enjoyer. And I think Lucci more so to get under my skin, not because of anything else.
So, yeah, I just don't want us to start apologizing if we got a break, which, again, I don't even think it's that big of a break. Like, corners aren't – what's the percentage that people score corners? It's not that –
That's a great point.
All right. Can't talk about the penalty without the image. In my opinion. So let me just pull it up here. Darmian. Turn that off. Okay. I'm going to share my screen here. Can you see the video there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So here's...
Wow, what a great video you found.
That's a good vid, right? So here's my
issue
with this.
That's crystal clear.
Or let me ask you a question. Do you think that there are teams that this action could have occurred to that it wouldn't have been called a penalty? Or do you think it's game by game?
The Interista in me wants to say yes, Juve would never get this called against them, as you can see based on their game where Gatti got away with something very similar. I also do think that part of me also wants to say that it is game by game. I don't know if it's certain VAR room, you know, video assistant referees, or the referee that is appointed to our match that, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It really is. Like, to me, that's a harsh penalty. It's not going towards goal, the header. You know, I don't. What?
That's, I mean, of all the problems that I have with it, that's one of the huge ones. It's not even close to go. It's going out.
It's going out.
The ball's leaving the pitch.
If it doesn't hit his hand, it's still going wide. Like,
it's going way wide. Way wide.
It's. And you know, it's, you could tell it's not his intent. You know, he didn't put it out like the Bashkiroto incident, right? Where you clearly see him drop his shoulder to block the pass. I mean, Darmian is being pulled by Moise Kean. He's trying to keep his balance. And he just is unfortunate that the ball hits his hand in that instance. Yes, it's away from his body. I'm not arguing that fact. Yes, it's high. Yes, it hits below the shoulder. All things where you would say penalty. But he heads it down into his hand. It's not like he's heading it on goal and then it hits his hand. He heads it literally into his hand, as if you could almost make the argument that he's looking to get the pen by heading it straight into his hand. I think that if the call, this is, you can say I'm wrong, you could say I'm an idiot, whatever you want. But I think that if the call doesn't go our way with the Bastoni ball going out of bounds, I think that this is never called a penalty, in my opinion. And that's how I feel.
There could be some truth to that. There's just so much wrong with this situation. Like you said, the ball's being headed into the ground and out of play. Like, it's not even close to the goal. Secondly, like, let's talk about, is this an unnatural movement for the arm? Look at what everybody else's arms that are involved in this action are doing. They're all away from the body. This is like a normal, there's nothing that he's doing that's different from how anyone else is handling this play.
And let's say for sake of argument. Go ahead. I can't tell if it doesn't graze Gosens' hand first.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can't.
Now that I'm looking at it, like, it does kind of look like
the softest. I'm not saying like if you see that it hits his hand first, it's not a penalty either.
It does kind of look like it. It comes.
It kind of. I'm not saying like Opal
comes extremely close to grazing his knuckles there.
Yes.
Like,
exactly. And that one right there.
Looks like he does something with his finger. Anyway.
Yeah. It looks like he kind of clenches his hand a little bit. But listen, I'm thinking it's a makeup call.
He's turning around. He's got Moise Kean pulling on his thing. Like, what is Darmian doing wrong in this situation? And has he really prevented a goal from scoring? Yeah. Moise Kean is falling backwards here. Like, this is one of those instances where if the referees are talking about, we want to get rid of the Gori, like the little incidents that end up leading to this, like Carlo talks about all the time. It's a 0.8 XG chance. Like, it's a huge opportunity. There should be a higher standard for what we're awarding penalty kicks for. And this is like, you can make 100 different arguments for why Darmian is A, not denying a clear goal scoring opportunity, and B, not acting in a manner that's different from anyone else that's involved in this play. He's being pulled. He's in motion. He's turning around. His arms are not crazy far away from his body.
It's for me, it's like, it's not even close. No,
it's harsh.
Yeah.
It is a harsh pen. Like, not a fan of that call, but again, I think it's a makeup call. Doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah.
But
if it is a makeup call, it's a pretty huge makeup call. And the other reason why it's like Inter didn't get lucky today is, okay, let's use those two incidents. If we're going to call it a makeup call, let's use those two incidents to cancel each other out. Inter still won the game.
Thank God.
It would just have been, you know, the Arnautovic 1-0, but Fiorentina didn't have any opportunities. The only time that I felt danger was the last like 15 minutes or so, where we were definitely more open, just given the personnel that we had on this field. Like, Zalewski is not a very good defender. You had a midfield of Fratesi, Zielinski. Kitarin was there. Fratesi, Zielinski, and did Barella get the full 90?
Yes, did he?
Why am I not
remembering? He did.
Yeah.
He did. Don't even bother.
Barella on a yellow card. Zielinski and Fratesi in the midfield. Like, it definitely... Acerbi on 90 minutes after having been out for so long, it was getting nervy, but they didn't create anything of real value. For me, Inter dominated the game. If you want to talk about approach in attitude, like, you had mentioned earlier in the podcast, struggle to break their lines. Yeah, I mean, we didn't create a lot of clear-cut opportunities for a whole lot of the game, including the entirety of the first half. Fiorentina never came out of their shell. Never ever came out of their shell. And even with that being the case, the Darmian cross to Lautaro, where it just fizzes wide of the post. There's the Lautaro post that he ends up having. There's a corner kick where, I forget, maybe Bastoni flashed it across the goal and Acerbi almost got there. Augusto hit the side net. We had opportunities. You know, we had opportunities. It's difficult against a team that's going to completely park the bus. But I thought that just the speed in which we were playing and the aggressiveness that we were playing with, you can see the amount of yellow cards we were given today. I thought it was good. So the game ends 2-1. You know, it's not the slaughtering that we were hoping for, but I think it's an overall very good performance. I think we got the did we get lucky out of the way. So let's get into some things that I wanted to talk to you about. One, Inzaghi gets on the mic after the game here and not loses his mind, but very sternly says that the penalty was never a penalty, that VAR never should have intervened. Nima clipped it and said, you know, we might see a full breakdown, Mourinho-esque breakdown from Inzaghi soon if you know, controversial incidents like this continue to happen. When you see our manager get very animated in a press conference like this, do you see that as a positive or negative? Do you want to see like the red eyes, you know, Simone Demone is out there fighting for the team, or do you think that it's inviting even more pressure and potential incidents to come against the club?
No, I've wanted to see this type of response for sure. He's it's nice to see him coming out of his shell now and not being so reserved. I think we've been complaining, you know, far too much, far too much. But like, what I mean is like, we've been begging for Simone to show a little anger, a little spine, a little grinta, whatever you want to call it. And now the last two weeks, he's done it. And I'm thrilled by that. I'm thrilled by his response. I'm glad that he's speaking up in defense of the club. I think that you have to like shine a light on these things, because if you allow it to just keep being swept under the rug, what happens on match day 38, where we're tied with Napoli? If we win our match, let's say 2-0, and they, you know, that guarantees us the Scudetto, right? Or whatever instance. And because you stayed silent and you allowed referees to continue to do this, continue to screw you over, they do it again. Because Inter's not going to say they're the nice guys. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now you put a little something in their mind where it's like, oh, yo, if I get this wrong, I'm not going to hear the end of it. You know, and I don't want to be called out in the media or then get suspended or whatever it may be. So I think this is the way to go about it. And I'm glad that he's doing this. I don't want him to be as dramatic as Antonio Conte, or, you know, even do, you know, what Mourinho, even though I love Mourinho at his time with Inter, but like he did get suspended a lot at Inter. And I don't want that to be the case either. Not that he won't have an impact or won't be able to relay his message to Varis on the sideline, but I would rather him be there. I think his presence, you know, is a positive thing. You don't get the same level of energy and demand from Varis when he's on the, you know, the manager on the sideline as opposed to Simone. So I'm glad that he's doing this, though. I love it.
I think it's a positive too. I think like there have been enough incidents for you to feel justified in acting in this manner. Like, it's one thing if, like, you know, the handball from Basquiroto, okay, we won the game, I'm not going to say anything. But Pavlovic on Thuram in a big spot, you know, today, like, these are, it's February, March now. Like, things are getting heated in the title race. It's time to stop with these mistakes and make sure that we're getting things right. The only thing that I'm concerned about is if Marotta is going to give an interview, and if they're going to bring this up, and if he doesn't back Inzaghi for the second straight week in a row, it's really going to piss me off. And he's not, Beppe's not really in good standing with the Inter fans right now. I think everyone kind of sees, you know, the flaws that this squad has, and everyone's doing a little bit of, you know, revision to...
We're putting it all on Beppe?
Not putting it all on Beppe, but...
Poor scouting?
Could have been poor scouting, but Go ahead.
I was going to say, look at Tommy Palacios. He's looking not great. I do think that he still needs to continue to play to grow, but it's not looking great is all I'm saying. Aslani seems to be a flop. Fratesi, flop in my opinion. Yes, he scored some timely goals, but as a midfielder, he just doesn't enter quality. Correa. Arnautovic, Taremi, not getting money for Skriniar, letting Dzeko walk. Like, it's not all on Beppe. I think some of it can fall on Ausilio as well. You know, Bacin.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that there wasn't good things either. I'm not going to take that away, but I'm not going to put all the blame on Beppe personally.
Yeah. My feelings about Beppe are generally positive. I do think like his role as president of the club, if he's asked about Inzaghi's comments again, like you gotta back him. Number one, he's over delivered with the resources that you provided him. And number two, it's not a gift. Like, he's gonna be going into next season as an expiring contract. And Beppe never has a lame duck coach. He's never done that in his career. So let's not start problems. Like, losing Inzaghi is, as frustrated as we get with him sometimes, genuinely, what he's been doing with Inter, with the resources that he's provided, it's we should appreciate him. You mentioned Aslani. So I think this is a good segue into the fact that Zielinski was the guy off the bench for Hakan into the Regista role. And that's happened a few times recently.
Thank you.
Has against his best wishes, as Simone made Zielinski into a Regista. And comment on his performance today, which I thought was real, real silky.
I wouldn't say he's made him a regista, only because he doesn't want to be a regista. He's playing him as a regista, and he's excelled recently. Today, yes, I agree with you, silky. The dribbling out of pressure and that pass that he sent that released Zalewski on the wing, beautiful, yeah. Beautiful. I mean, like literally hang that in the Louvre. Like that was so picturesque, and I'm thrilled that we knew he had that.
He deleted five defenders like in one move.
Yeah, I mean, phenomenal playing out of the back there. You know, he had his back to goal. I know it's in midfield; it's not the same thing, but to receive that off his chest. Dribble it up, turn, run, and then play that pass. Awesome. So I'm happy with that. And yeah, I think we're realizing that Aslani is not Inter quality, that he can't handle the big moments. And I think Inzaghi has finally realized it. And I think Zielinski has realized it as well, because he's embraced this. It's not his favorite thing to do, but I think that he's been able to excel in these moments. And look at that right there. Touch. 1, 2, 3. Whoa, cut. Split.
Five defenders completely collapsing on him and just you're deleted. All because he had the like feeling under pressure of not panicking and perfect at the right time, perfectly released Zalewski.
That right there, that interception right there. I wanted him to play it there to Lautaro, but I think that he thought, because if you look at the way he was running, it probably would have been, he wouldn't have been able to get enough power on it to split there. So I think he did the smart thing and not the right thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I tweeted after the game that I feel like his toolbox is different from everyone else in our midfield.
And so you can different. See
it. Like, it's very technical. It's very shifty. Like, just like that. Just that little turn. That he feels so comfortable doing under pressure.
It's a little cutback, and then he dribbles right out. I mean, I love the signing. I think I was more excited for him than I was Taremi, because we all know that, you know, Iranian footballers are frauds and that they cannot play in Serie A, and I don't care if somebody is Iranian who might listen to this podcast. I don't. You know who you are, Nima. I was more excited for Zielinski. I loved him at Napoli. I didn't like that he was at Napoli. I wish that he would shoot more, like right there. Yeah. I was glad that he did. And even the follow-up on the volley. Clean shot. So, no, I love him. I want to see him continue to get these minutes. I don't know. I'm still struggling to understand Inzaghi's reluctance to play Barella in the regista and allow Zielinski to play where he's comfortable. I don't know why he continues that. And we also know that Barella is better defensively. But I think that he is trying, you know, this just came to me, but I think that he's trying to turn Zielinski into a regista.
That's what I think, too.
What?
That's what I think, too.
Well, I was going to say the way Conte was really trying to force Eriksen to be comfortable playing a mezzala. Same time, obviously, I think they're very similar players themselves. And yeah, Eriksen didn't look comfortable at first, didn't like it. And then once he figured it out, it was great. And I think that once Zielinski figures it out as well, it could be great.
Last podcast, we talked about like Inzaghi, his configuration in the midfield is those three. And if you, when you watch a performance like this today, like you want to see him on the pitch more with, like, you want to give him the opportunity to really show what he's got, because it's different than every other midfielder. He's not going to get minutes over Barella, but two things. One, with Mkhitaryan, he's so predictable. I really appreciate his running and the work that he puts in for the team, but he's so predictable in the final third. He doesn't have like what we just watched, these drops of the shoulder, the cutback, the shift, whatever. I feel like defenders feel like they can wrangle Mkhitaryan. Whereas Zielinski, like, go ahead and pressure me. I just might find a way out. And you never feel like that against Mkhitaryan. Against Mkhitaryan. And the other thing is, with Hakan coming back from injury and not necessarily being in form,
maybe Zielinski has an opportunity, a pathway to minutes that way at Regista. Because he looked really good. He looked really good in that role today. And I know he switched on and off with Barella, but I don't know. I feel like he... I just want to see more of him.
You're setting the lineup for Saturday. Are you playing Zielinski over Mkhitaryan? Or are you playing the regular three and then bringing Zielinski off the bench for Hakan? Ladies and gentlemen, I've stumped him.
That's a good question. I probably would just do Hakan, Mickey, Barella to start because...
Boring.
It is, but an away game against Juventus, I'd rather have a game changer off the bench, and I don't want to have to look over and see Mkhitaryan and Fratesi there. Like, all right, I can we can see if they can change the game, but... I know Zielinski might be able to unlock it. So for Saturday, I'd probably go with the starting three.
No, and this is why you're not the manager. You know, you're not willing to take risks. You're not willing to put it all out there. So I would start Zielinski. I would want to go for it. Get out early on these.
At Regista or at Metzala?
At Metzala. Hakan's my Regista. And then worst case, let's say Hakan picks up a yellow, right? Now you still have the ability to drop Zielinski at Regista, and then you bring a fresh Mickey off the bench.
Not a fresh Mickey. All right.
It's fresher than what we're getting. That's all I'll tell you.
It is fresher than what we're getting. Speaking of fresh, Pavard looking back in form.
Benji, my guy. I think we could put the BSEC argument to rest. I think at this point, I think it's Pavard's position, especially given the mistake that BSEC made, which was embarrassing in my opinion against Fiorentina. You're 6'5", and you're letting a guy who's probably 4-5 inches shorter than you outjump you. Should never be the case. So, yeah, listen, I'm not saying that Jan Bisek is an Inter qual. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't think that right now he is able to start. And I'm hoping that, you know, one of these German giants, a.k.a. Bayern, want to come in and pay that, you know, that release clause, because I think we can get something a little bit better back there. But all kidding aside, like with Pavard, I mean, he just looks like he's... And again, we've talked about this. Maybe he was, you know, still hanging on to a little bit of a knock. And just needed to fully heal. And now that he has, he's unbelievable. The last 3-4 appearances, he's been incredible. And I'm thrilled.
Like a shutdown corner.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get behind me. And even if you do, I'm going to catch up. Offensively, he's been good. He's been making good decisions. This version of Pavard, like, he's who I start in a critical game. And there was an opportunity... like what Bisek had to deal with in the last game against Fiorentina.
And he headed it back.
Yeah. He just got,
it and he put it out of danger, which is all you could ask for in that situation. So, yeah, I mean, him, De Vrij, Bastoni, that's my back three against Juve, no questions. Yeah, I feel totally comfortable with him back there. You know, I think earlier on in the year, maybe I should say, yeah, like earlier on in the year, some people were calling, oh, is this a waste of 30 million? We got it wrong. Ba, 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 ba. Nah. He was just hurt. He was just hurt and he needed to heal up. And I'm thrilled with the performances. I mean, the guy's so important to this team, and I'm very happy that we have him, because I don't know if I'd feel as good with BSEC being the only option out there.
Yeah, he's a top class player. He's a top class player. A player you mentioned wanting to start De Vrij against Juventus. This game was the official return of Acerbi. So let's break it down here. 90 minutes is wild, number one. Number two, pocketed Ken, who is the second top goal scorer in the league. In his first game back, how impressed are you with this Acerbi performance? And is it enough for you to say you know, it's okay, whatever that Vrij did for us for the past 10 matches in a knockout game, I'm starting ace.
No, I'm... De Vrij has more pace, and I feel like when you're in a knockout game, you need someone a little bit, not explosive, but he has more available to him to be able to run someone down. No disrespect to Acerbi. I think that he played a great game. Like you said, he did shut down Moise Kean, and I'm very, very happy with it, especially that he was able to go 90 minutes. But you don't want to test it, right? You don't want to push it. Start him maybe the next game, and then boom, now he's hurt, and now you have to burn a sub when you have a De Vrij who's more than capable of handling 90 minutes and more than capable of starting these matches. We've seen what he's been doing all season. I feel like you have to ride the guys who are getting you there. And it's not that Acerbi hasn't been able to do it in the past, but you can't punish De Vrij just because Acerbi's now healthy. I think the reason you played him 90 minutes is so that you have a fresh De Vrij to go against Juve. So this is, and let's say De Vrij drops a stinker for whatever reason. You still know you got Acerbi available to step in and be able to, you know, to do his thing. So I'm happy that Acerbi was able to come back, and, you know, it's good to have him available. You could have guys like Agosto, Bisek, and Acerbi on the bench and still feel comfortable with any of those guys if needed. So it's a good problem to have, although, you know, we just wish that he was younger so that he could stay, you know, longer.
It's like when everyone is healthy, it's the complete opposite, the depth in defense versus the depth in attack. It's like Bisek, Pavard, Acerbi, De Vrij, Bastoni, Augusto went fully healthy. Like that is super, super depth. And the depth up top is not that. And it might get tested soon depending on what's going on with Thuram's injury, but hoping that that looks okay. Who would you start if Thuram can't make it to Juventus? Who would you start up top?
Oh, God.
Arnautovic on the score sheet. Correa is back.
I'd probably start Arnautovic and hope Correa could come off the bench.
Wow. Taremi is...
I don't know. Like people were saying, like, oh, you know, look, he's pressing more. Arnautovic was pressing too today. Like I thought
Arnautovic played well.
I do too. Like I mean, listen, he's not my favorite player. He's not someone that I really want to rely on. But he played well. Like let's be unbiased. Yes, you could say he's had a terrible tenure overall at Inter. But you can't tell me that, you know, today he didn't have, you know, the effort and inevitably, you know, scored the winning goal. So like why are we I don't know why we're so quick to
that. If Lautaro was ready for that little dummy that he played when Bastoni dribbled into the box, played it across, and Arnautovic hit a very convincing dummy. Like the defender completely bit on it. Unfortunately, so did Lauti. He wasn't ready for it, but that he doesn't know.
If he makes that run, he's clean on goal.
Yeah.
Now whether he finishes or not, that's a whole other story. But
right. Yeah, it was good to see him put it in the back of the net. I think Bet Bergomi on is he on Sky or DAZN after
he's
the
on
match?
Sky.
Yeah, he was talking up Arnautovic and how much he really likes him. With I can see why. It's part of why I think both of us have supported Arnautovic at times and others haven't. Like there is definitely some technical quality there. He's not a great finisher. He's very slow, but there are times where he's on the ball or his mind is working much faster than his body is at this point in his age. But he's definitely got some technique. All right, I want to talk about two things, and then we'll get into the questions here. We're about 45 minutes in. First, something that you tweeted. You're confident with what Zalewski is showing versus Tejan. So what led you to feel that way? I feel similar, but it's not perfect.
No, of course not. It's not perfect. There's things that I want him to be able to work on, which I think that he can. I have pretty good confidence in that. His technical ability is awesome. His willingness to attack defenses, which is something that kind of bothered me about Tejan. You have the pace, you have the dribble and the shiftiness. Why are you so reluctant? I think he was more afraid of making a mistake, which is something, I don't know about you, but when I was young, I was told, don't make mistakes. Don't turn the ball over. Don't put your team at disadvantages on the counter. So I was more reluctant to take on my man. I would circle back, look for the easy pass, kind of like how what I criticized Dumfries for, right? Like looking for the turning around and passing back, which I think was what Buchanan would do. And then when he would try to take his man on and get stripped of the ball, then that was it. His confidence was shot the rest of his time on the pitch. Zalewski's not afraid to make a mistake. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't put you know, in some trouble sometimes. There was a couple dribbles where, you know, I was like, oh, he got stripped, and then, you know, you didn't know what was gonna happen there on the counter. Thank goodness, you know, some guys were able to step in and get the ball back. But the dribble that he had where I wish he would have passed it, but he took a shot and almost hit that far post, which would have been the most insane angled goal I would have seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
He had a dribble in the box where he tried to do a step over and he just hit the ball off his own foot. Kind of sucked.
Heavy of a touch. Like he didn't have the wherewithal of where the outline was.
And you know, that kind of stunk. It is what it is. But he continued to push that side of the wing. And I don't know, there's a player there. There's a player there. I don't know where it went wrong for him at Roma, but I'm glad it did, because if we have that option for $7 million, we got to take that immediately. Immediately. I don't even care what stipulate, like, just pay it. Learn from the mistake you made with Belanova and just pay the $7 million, okay? You're not going to find a better option at a cheaper price. You're going to pay more for somebody else. Just pay the $7 million. I think he feels comfortable at Inter. I think he's got people around him who want to lift him up. Obviously, playing with Zielinski, that helps. They already have the connection from the national team. I mean, this guy could be, our next our next gem there. And you know, Average Joe said it best: if he could even become the defender that DiMarco is, which isn't a great defender by any means, that'll just be a huge improvement.
Better, yeah,
huge improvement. And I would be. I like the player. I didn't think I would. I wasn't excited with the signing. I'm wrong. I was wrong. And listen, I always say I'm happy to be proven wrong time and time again if it's for the good of Inter.
I really, really like the fact that every time the ball touches this kid's feet, it's like, head up. Do I have even a little bit? Do I have a 40% chance of beating my man? Because if I do, I'm going to take it. I like that because we don't have anyone else with that kind of mentality in the team. When he got the yellow card, like 10 minutes into the game, you know that pisses Inzaghi off so much. It was also a terrible fucking attempt at a tackle. I mean, horrendous. He's clearly not like – he's definitely more of a winger than a wingback at this point.
For sure.
He has to make – some adjustments in the way that he defends or his decision making, but technical quality, he's definitely got some of it. Speed, like, he can work his way around a man. Crossing is pretty dangerous. I haven't seen any like really badly overhit crosses or anything like that. It's I don't know. When he comes on the pitch, I have felt a little bit more excited than anything that Tejan has given us. Would Inzaghi have trusted Tejan in a spot like this against Fiorentina in a must-win game? I'm not sure. But he trusted Zalewski, and I think that says a good amount about those two players. Last thing, just want to shout out Lautaro and Barella today. Really, like, I don't know that there's a ton that I can pull as far as, oh, remember when he did this, remember when he did that, or their performances weren't, like I tweeted, jumping off the screen, especially for Lautaro. But they put in near-perfect shifts. Near-perfect shifts today. And that's what you need from your captain and vice-captain. I'm really happy with what they put out today. Both 90 minutes as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great shout. Obviously, both guys, super influential on the game. Motors were going the entire time. And that's what you want to see from the guys who are considered your leaders. Listen, I love them both. Obviously, it's no secret. So, yeah, like let's keep that energy going into the Juve game, right? That to me is the next big hurdle for us. Another game that we probably should have got 3 points from. And, nothing would make me happier than to break Juve's back and kind of maybe end their challenge at a European, competition for next season. So let's hope that these guys are able to continue this way. And I think that they do. They will. They lead by example. Obviously Barella's vocal, but he also allows his play to do talking as well. So
yeah. It's your leader when you're in a difficult moment, it's your leaders that are going to be the indicator for where the team is at. And if our leaders are this locked in, I feel good about what you and I spoke about this last pod, that the title race is not over. Despite a week in which we incurred maybe our worst result this year, we actually got closer to Napoli. It's minus one now. So let's see how it shakes out. All right.
Grazie, Udinese.
Wait, did I say Lazio?
No, I just said thank you. I just said thank you, Udinese.
Oh, yeah. Grazie, Udinese. All right, Q&A here. Nick Costa, frequent interviews collaborator. Why is it that every single blessed year we talk about how poor Serie A officiating is? From the referees to the VAR room, Serie A needs a major overhaul. Should UEFA and or Serie A implement a sky judge similar to the NFL so more calls are made correctly? And then he says, go Birds.
Go Birds. I hate the Chiefs. Anyway, you're welcome, Nick. I didn't think I would actually ever say that out loud in public. I mean, it would be cool, right, if we could have that type of advantage, or maybe not advantage, advancement in the league. But we are, listen, Italy is stuck in the Stone Age. Just look at the stadiums, look at the buildings, look at everything. They don't want change. They don't want to improve. The fact that we got VAR is amazing to me. I didn't even know we had computers that can, capture those things and be able to, use cameras. In theory, it would be nice. I just don't see us ever going that level or going that way to be able to get things right. Even if we have goal line technology, why don't we just use that all over the pitch? Literally that line, you're tracking it if it goes in goal. Why can't you just spread it a little bit longer and use that same technology to see? Right?
For like offsides?
Not even offsides, just the ball that went out for Bastoni. That could have done that. Offsides, that'd be incredible too. But yeah, I don't see a sky judge coming, unfortunately.
The only concern that I have with more changes to the refs is that oftentimes when these things happen, like the ref associations use it as an opportunity to gain even more power and influence over a game. Like, what if we started giving refs the opportunity to intervene on, I don't know, like an incorrect yellow card or stuff like that? Like, I just don't want refs to be getting more power to continue to intervene. Yeah, it's got to be an accountability thing, because Rocky, the head of the referees, goes on these talk shows and like it's impossible that the referees ever get anything wrong. Like, he always explains away, you know, how the decision was correct. But it's like, it's not really statistically possible that every single big decision you've done this year or the refs have done this year have been correct. Like, you guys have to have made a mistake on one. So instead of jumping on these talk shows to like really explain, no, it was applied, the perfect application of the rule. It's like, I think fans would feel better if you took accountability and say, no, this was a mistake for at least one episode. I think people would feel more comfortable, but if anything, it just comes off as like, you run the show, you never get it wrong, and it is what it is. So anyway, Huyan really likes Zalewski. He gives us a missing flair that we haven't had since Pedicic. What do you think his ceiling is? Does he have what it takes to be a full-time Inter player? I mean, he's 22 years old. He's technically pretty good. I think the advancements that he needs to make are like positioning and decision making, which, you know, your coach can do a huge part in getting that up. Also, the players that you're playing around can do a huge part in getting that up. So at 22, if he's at Inter for the next 3 years, by the time he's 25, can I see him, you know, taking over one of the wingback spots? Sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, Perisic is a good shout. I just don't know if he's as two-footed as Perisic is. I guess I'd have to see a little bit more of that. But what his ceiling is, that's tough. That's a tough one to determine. Maybe we give him a few more matches before we maybe put a stamp on that. But I do think that he has the ability to be, you know, in the Inter rotation for years to come, you know. And how nice would it be to have, you know, him on the right or left, you know, kind of how Cambiaso could be for Juve. He could be the same type of player for us. And then would be able to, you know, allow some rest for Di Marco, Dumfries, and you could feel confident with the player on either side. That'd be incredible.
Agreed. Some people want to talk about Arnautović from at @ourguru_2k19. Was this mentality-wise the best Inter game from Marco? And at Lord Pape, is this the Arnautović redemption arc? What do you think?
I don't know if we could call it an arc. I feel like he's been so down. You gotta really climb out of that hole for a little while. But it is nice to see him, playing well. I definitely think that this was probably one of his more confident matches. You can make the case. Listen. Forget about what happened in the round of 16 with Atletico, but the fact that he was willing to take those shots in those instances, yes, I wish he would have finished one or maybe even both of them that he wasn't able to cleanly do. But I think his confidence was high there too. So, but yeah, I mean, I would say this was one of his more influential games for sure. And I hope that this gives him the push to keep playing this way as well. You know, I feel like I'm a broken record here, but I always want guys to succeed at Inter. I never want to see players fail or not be able to perform, because that hurts the club, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest. I don't ever want to go back to a banter era. So let's hope that all our guys are able to play at the best of their abilities and we can continue winning. So Arnautović is a piece of that.
Yeah, I enjoy when Arnautović does something. It's like fun. It's like they all the players run up to him and treat him like he's a make-a-wish kid every time he does something dope. So it's fun to see him succeed, and I hope he's able to, especially given that there's so much uncertainty around the bench when it comes to offense and the forwards. So I'll take it. At a person 1352, this is an interesting one. Who do you think is more likely to drop points this weekend? Inter playing away to Juve or Napoli playing away to Lazio?
So Sean McIntosh and I have, obviously, he's a Lazio fan. We support Inter. We had a nice little chat today about this. He needed us to beat Fiorentina to help Lazio's, you know, push for top four. And now, you know, we need his club to beat Napoli. They've already done it twice. And in order for us to push, you know, be able to hopefully leapfrog them, I think Lazio have a great squad. I think they have a lot of players who could have an impact. I'm going to say that Napoli is more likely to drop points this weekend. I think we're gonna scratch each other's backs again. You know, we'll do them a favor by beating a team that's in front of them or competing with them. Juve is behind them, but competing with them and trying to leapfrog them to get to Europe, and they're gonna help us, you know, push for our Scudetto challenge. So, yeah, Forza Lazio this weekend for sure.
Definitely Forza Lazio. It's an interesting question because I think the firepower from Lazio, I think, is definitely better than what Juventus has to offer. Although Juventus has like good individuals on a team play level, Lazio has been banging them in all season, whereas Juventus has had some trouble with the scoring. And I like defensively what we've been putting out there, or what we put out there today, given that we let in 3 goals the game before. So I guess not.
And Napoli still have Juan Jesus. So let's hope for another howler like the mistake he made against Udinese.
Yeah, and Lazio has to do a better job with protecting their home turf. So yeah, let's hope he's able to do that. They're able to do that. Sorry, it's a little late for me. All right, last question, and then we got to wrap it up. Do you guys feel like Augusto is underappreciated? This is from Uncle George Zero. Feels like we always have a good chance of scoring when he's on the pitch, plus his defense has been solid. He won, I believe, 8.
Man of the match.
He won man of the match. He also won 8 aerial duels. And Fiorentina combined won 7. I tweeted he's a guy that if there's a dogfight, I want him on my side 100%. He just gives it everything he has every single time he's out there on the pitch. The end product, I know you think it was a mishit, but I think it's improving. Yeah, I just like...
No, it's definitely improving. I just... You know, I mean, the shot that he took was fantastic. I think if he was able to pick far post, maybe with that, that's a goal in my opinion. I think he would have been able to get it past De Gea. I don't know if I would say he's underappreciated. I think people really do appreciate him. I don't think that he's underappreciated. Curious now.
I don't see that either. I don't see that on either Twitter where it's like, oh, Carlos Augusto is starting.
Maybe in like Serie A circles or in general, you could say it there. But I don't think, I think he did easily appreciate him for sure.
And DiMarco hasn't played well in a long time. So, you know, it's good to see him get out there and contribute.
All right, Johnny, I'm exhausted. It's 10:41 here. Do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
No, nothing. I'm going to be putting the giveaway up either later tonight or early. Maybe I'll do it early tomorrow. That way, you know, more people could see it. That's it.
All right. That's Inter Fiorentina post-match reaction. Juventus at the weekend. 2 weeks where we don't have a midweek game. Pretty exciting. Haven't done that in a while. So let's take full advantage of it and get as many points as we can. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.